It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study of the book of Acts, we left off in Acts chapter 27, and we read how that Paul was on his way to Rome on a ship with other prisoners. Well, they were taken by a storm, and the storm seemed to be getting the best of them. They were getting ready to lose the ship. They were getting ready to die, they thought, but an angel of the Lord had appeared to Paul and said, don't be afraid, because everyone's going to be all right. Nobody's going to die. But, you know, God has a plan. God wants each of us to know His plan for our lives. And Paul had a plan. This was God's plan, that Paul would get to Rome. And once again, as we read in Acts chapter 27, verse 41, it says, "And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves." They were in a fix. But remember now, Paul had already told them that he had been visited by an angel of the Lord and that no one would be lost. Well, once again, in verse 42 of Acts 27, it says, "And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape." Their idea here was, the soldiers were, that they needed to kill these guys, these prisoners, before they could get away. And in verse 43 of Acts 27, the Bible says, "But the centurion," this is the one in charge now, "willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land." This would include all the prisoners, as well as the soldiers that were on there. The centurion stopped the soldiers' plan of killing all the prisoners because he wanted to save Paul. And then in verse 44, now we go back to verse 43, it said all those who could swim and they cast themselves first into the sea. And verse 44 goes on to say, "And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." Well, the centurion commanded all that who could swim to jump overboard and swim for the shore. And those who couldn't swim, they floated on the boards or parts of the ship. And they all escaped safely to the island. Acts 28 and verse 1 tells us where they ended up. And as we look at this, we see in verse 1 of Acts 28 and verse 2, it says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain." It was raining there, and because of the cold. We continue reading here, and we see that in chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, it was rainy and cold, and as the travelers escaped to the island, the natives showed kindness by kindling a fire, welcoming these folks who had been on that boat. Now we go into chapter 28, and we're in chapter 28 of Acts, and we read verse 3 through 5 here, and it says, "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." We understand that a viper is a snake. And this was a very poisonous snake, evidently. It bit Paul. Well, the natives reacted. They thought this man evidently was a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance, in other words, justice, does not allow him to live. Well, Paul shook off the viper without dying, and the natives thought Paul was a god, according to verse 5 of Acts 28. Now notice verses 7 through 10. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Well, this is once again a miracle of God. And God was showing the people there that he was who he said he was. He's God. And Paul once again was able, I'm sure he preached the word of God while he was there. Well, notice the name Publius here. Publius was the head man of the island. And he received and took care of Paul and the others for 3 days. And Publius's father was sick with a fever, probably caused by an infection in his lower intestines. Well, Paul went into him and prayed. He laid hands on him, and the man was healed. And others on the island with diseases came and were healed. The islanders also honored these people from this ship. They honored them in many ways and provided the necessities for them as they departed the island. Start reading now again in verse 11 of Acts 28, verses 11 through 13. And it says, "And after 3 months we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Caesar and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Hegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli." Well, after 3 months of being on the island, an Alexandrian ship that had spent the winter in Malta sailed with Paul and his companions, according to Acts chapter 28, verse 11. And the group sailed to Syracuse, and they stayed there 3 days, and then they sailed Puteoli. Well, now, in verses 14 and 15, we read this. After they got to this place where I just mentioned here in Acts chapter 28, verses 12 and 13, it says, where we found brethren, this place they landed, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Paul and his traveling companions came into contact with brethren at Puteoli and stayed with them 7 days as they traveled along, and some other brethren who had been made aware of Paul. See, Paul was a man of God who had traveled, and people knew him in certain areas because he had preached the word of God. And many of these people who greeted Paul during this occasion had gotten saved, I believe, under the ministry of Paul. Well, in verse 15, we see also that Paul thanked God for the brethren and was encouraged. In other words, it cheered him up. Well, in verse 16, it goes on to say, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him." Well, the centurion delivered the prisoners. He did his job. He delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard at Rome, and Paul was permitted to live by himself, with a soldier, of course, who guarded him. And then we continue reading here in verses 17 through 22, and it says that it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. This was after he had gotten there, after 3 days. "And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." Well, when they came together, Paul spoke to the Jewish leaders. And he noted that he had done nothing against their people, their customs, or their fathers. But yet he was taken prisoner in Jerusalem and taken into Roman custody. And he had been examined and was to be released, but the Jews spoke against his release, and under the circumstances, he found it necessary to make an earnest request to be heard in the Roman court of Caesar. Well, the reason he called for and spoke with the Jewish leaders here, where he was at this time, was to let them know for the hope. In other words, his desire for Israel to know the truth. And this was the reason he was bound with chain. And they saw him there. Well, the hope of Paul, this hope of his was the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers that Paul spoke of in Acts chapter 26 and verse 6. He said this, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." Well, the accusations that had been leveled against Paul about this hope was actually nothing new, but was spoken of by the prophets, the fathers of the Jews. You read about this in the Old Testament, where the Old Testament prophets spoke of the Messiah. And this is what, once again, this is who Paul was speaking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. We go in now and we further our study in Acts chapter 28 and verses 21 and 22. It says, "And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." But Paul was getting ready to preach now. He was going to tell these people. The Jewish leaders responded here to Paul, and they indicated they had not received any information about Paul, in other words, what he was, his message or anything, and they wanted to hear more. We continue on now in reading in verse 23 through 29. It says, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them in concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well, spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah." Now he's telling them what Isaiah said here, "the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear." They're going to hear it, he says. "And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves." We now end the book of Acts by reading Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him." There was no accident that Paul was in Rome. God was working through Paul to reach other individuals for Jesus Christ. And may we as saved people do as Paul did, teach and preach the word of God wherever we're at to those people in this world, to those people who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.